Om Shanti. If someone were to ask this question to us, is Brahmin life a life of renunciation or a life of fortune? What would you say? Yes? Fortune? It is. Because when they see our life after being BK, they think we renounce a lot. And sometimes they even feel sorry for us. But they do appreciate, they do admire our life, but they do not recognize that it's not a life of renunciation. We have chosen this life because it is a life of fortune. But the thing is, they do not see the fortune in our image. They only see the renunciation. And that is why sometimes they do not want to come too close. They do not have the courage to take steps like us. So this is why it is very important when we all accept, when we all understand that this life is a life of fortune, then why not, through our image, we inspire others to become fortunate like us? For that, what Baba keeps reminding us to do is to think, reflect throughout the day about the attainments that we have in Brahmin life. What have I become? What have I attained? What Baba has given me? If I keep counting the attainments, if I keep becoming aware of the fortune, then the renunciation that I have had in order to get that fortune will be totally, you know, in a low key. So what will be highlighted through our life will be the fortune. And of course we know that there cannot be fortune without renunciation. That is why it is always said, see your fortune in the mirror of your renunciation. The greater the renunciation, the greater the fortune. So what we need to reveal through our life to others is not renunciation, but the fortune. Now, many times renunciation is understood wrongly. That is why some of us find it difficult to renounce, because you feel like you are depriving yourself of something. Yes? You know, when you hear the word renunciation, the feeling that comes is you are depriving yourself of something that you have been used to. And so it's a kind of feeling of attachment to many things that does not allow us to renounce. So, first of all, let us understand a simple definition of what is renunciation, after all. Renunciation is not depriving myself, but letting go of something bad in order to allow the good from within to emerge. Because originally, all souls are good. Only that we have acquired certain bad habits, bad nature, in the company of Ravan due to body consciousness. So renunciation is to letting go of that which is bad in order to allow the good to emerge from within. Or you can also say renunciation is to let go of the consciousness of mind, let go of having the right so that I am able to be free. Because when you give something that belongs to you to someone, so that thing does not belong to you anymore. So you lose ownership, you lose right over it, because that becomes the property of the one whom you have given. And so what is that we renounce actually? We renounce everything that which is rubbish. We renounce everything that which is dirty. We renounce everything that which is alien. So it is not renunciation, actually it is letting go of something that which I have stolen, I have borrowed, you know, and allow that natural sanskara of mind to emerge. But this renunciation is also not possible if I do not have an attitude of unlimited disinterest. I remember once Dadi Janki gave a class in London a few years ago, and this was the question: what comes first? Do I have to have disinterest first, or do I have renunciation first? What do you think? You need to have renunciation and that will bring disinterest, or you need to have disinterest that will help you to renounce? So how many of you think you need to have an attitude of unlimited disinterest first? Yes. And then renunciation is easy. Because when you have renounced something, letting go of something with love, renunciation should not be out of compulsion. Renunciation should not be out of force. But it must be out of love plus with understanding. Then I am able to let go of that for good. So this is why it is important to have an attitude of unlimited disinterest. Again, we were discussing yesterday, what is unlimited disinterest? It is not that you don't have any more interest. Some Brahmins misinterpret the term, you know. I am detached, I don't have any interest these days. I am not interested in service, in family. I have an attitude of unlimited disinterest. That's not right, actually. You can understand unlimited disinterest means unlimited interest. When you have unlimited interest, you will let go of all the limited interest that you have. So until you have that unlimited interest, you know, when you are on that unlimited stage, you cannot have disinterest. So disinterest does not mean no interest, but disinterest means to have the realization that enough of it now, enough is enough. You know, I had enough of anger, I had enough of attachment, I have had lot of sorrow, I just don't want it. So when I have that kind of distaste, dispassion, sometimes we call it, then you can let go of it, you know. you can renounce it and never look back. And so I remember in 1982, Bapdada gave a 7 days course on renunciation. Some of you who are in knowledge at that time may remember. So Baba made it very clear, the 7 lessons of renunciation. And so if I want to have intense tapasya, intense meditation, and if I want to do selfless service, I need to have complete renunciation. Not renunciation part-time. Can we have part-time renunciation? You know, like, can you have a part-time BK life? Yeah? Because BK is not a job. If it was a job, you can do part-time. But unfortunately, this is life. So life is full-time. So when BK life is full-time, that means renunciation also has to be complete. So if, you know, in Hindi there is a beautiful expression. They say, when you have kept the courage to walk on the edge of the sword, why you have fear to walk on it? You have kept your foot on the edge of the sword, knowing what it is, then why turning back? So I have adopted this BK life knowing this is a life of fortune. I did not adopt this life knowing this is a life of renunciation. Did anyone adopt Brahmin life knowing this is life of renunciation? Then it is always a struggle. Then it is always a labor. But no one asked me to become a BK. I decided myself, which means I thought it was a fortune. I realized it was a fortune. So then there should be complete renunciation. So what it means to have complete renunciation, it means, number one, the first step, renunciation of the consciousness of the body. Because until I renounce the consciousness of the body, again, what it means to renounce the consciousness of the body, to become an embodiment of soul consciousness. So this is why very often I share with souls, when you sit in meditation, don't think what you are not. You know, when you give commentaries, you use the word more, I am not this body, I am not this, I am not that. So what you are doing is you are reinforcing what you are not. So that will not allow me to have the renunciation of the consciousness of the body. So what I have to think is what I am. Because it is always said, you become what you think. So if I keep on thinking, I am not this body, I am not female, I am not Indian, I am not Hindu, so I am reinforcing that consciousness more and more. But instead, I am a soul, I am peace, I am love, I am light. So you embody that consciousness. So renunciation of consciousness of the body is to become embodiment of soul consciousness. So until I practice this awareness, become embodiment, so there is one thing or the other that is pulling my intellect towards itself. And that is why my yoga is always interrupted. You know, one of the obstacles that we find in yoga is our own body, nobody else's body, nothing else but my own body pulls me towards myself. Why? Because I have not practiced, I have not renounced the awareness of the body. So don't think about what you have to renounce, but think about what you really are. So that is what is called self-realization. Yesterday Mohini Ben was sharing with us, you know, the importance of practice. Because we have heard about it, but we have not given enough time to practice. You see, I was told by Manohar Dadi once that when they were in Karachi for 14 years, you know, they did not have so much of expansion of knowledge at that time. Baba used to give them few thought. I am an immortal soul, imperishable soul. Okay, go now and sit on the different places and 2 hours you practice. And they would practice. Practice means just be. And so the tapasya was automatic when there was renunciation of the consciousness of body. So until I practice this awareness consistently, there will always be struggle in yoga, in tapasya. So the first renunciation is the renunciation of the consciousness of the body. The second renunciation is the renunciation of the consciousness of bodily relationships. Now, when I talk about bodily relationship, you may be thinking about your uncle, auntie, paternal uncle, maternal uncle. No, not that. That comes later. The relationships of the body is the physical senses. See, this body is a house and the house has windows and doors. So that is relationships of the body. So to what extent I have renounced the attraction, to what extent I have become the conqueror of the physical senses. I am able to use my sense organs the way I want to use. So that shows my renunciation of my slavery. So renunciation of the attraction of the physical senses, then comes renunciation of my attachment to my physical relations, Laukik relationships, then thirdly, my renunciation of my alaukik relationships. Because many times, out of disinterest, distaste, from experience, we renounce attachment to the laukiks. We had enough of it. I don't want anymore. But then what happens? We come and get caught up here. We form some kind of relationship amongst each other and again we get caught up. So that is not total renunciation. So I need to check myself to what extent I have renounced the consciousness of the relationship with body. 3 levels. And the third renunciation comes renunciation of the physical object. The perishable things. You know, this is when my yoga becomes sadhana. Sadhana means spiritual endeavor. That means remembrance not depending upon any physical facilities. So, we know that when we lead an accurate Brahmin life, a life of renunciation, many objects made out of matter will surrender itself in front of us. But renunciation of physical objects, material comfort means not to use them, you know, not to take advantage of them, not to use them more than I need, not to depend on them, not to make them as the support. Because one time or the other, it is going to cause me deception. My tapasya will be interrupted. So this is why it is nothing wrong to use the material comfort. Renunciation does not mean you are depriving yourself, even though you have it, but whilst using, not to depend on it, so that your mind and intellect will not fluctuate when you don't have it. So that is why today, you know, even the Satopradhan sannyasis, the Tattva yogis are praised. Because they used to live in the forest, they used to live in the caves, and they had so much of renunciation that they did not ask anybody to give anything to them. But their tapasya, their it was so powerful that it attracted people towards themselves. So I have to really show that renunciation by having total disinterest, not being dependent, not being subservient to any physical objects. So that is the third lesson. The fourth one is renunciation of the sinful actions. It is very deep. Today we don't have time to go into the depth of it. But how we create karmic accounts, you know, by performing actions according to manmat or parmat, and how that becomes a sin, a burden that does not allow us to connect our yoga of intellect with Baba. Sin does not mean that you don't get angry, you don't involve or indulge in lust or greed or anything. But there is a big progeny of each vice. So actually total renunciation means renunciation of all the vices in its trace and from its progeny. So that means no name and trace of it is left anymore. So that is the fourth aspect of renunciation, renunciation of sinful actions. And Baba mentioned the fifth stage, very interesting, renunciation of carelessness, that is emphasized. Careless in speaking words. You know, we are so ordinary sometimes in speaking words, we do not understand how much we are slaves to our own sanskaras. So Baba said, sometimes we say in a casual way, I did not do anything wrong. I just like that I said this. Just like that I did it, you know. We do not realize that we are now playing a hero-heroine role. We are not ordinary souls. So just imagine today if the Prime Minister or the President of a country even by mistake speak one wrong word, how much confusion it creates in the relationship with other countries. Until they apologize, they would not let him go. So we are not ordinary. You know, to become Baba's children, to become a Baba's child means to be in front of the world on the stage. So playing a hero-heroine role. So to have that carelessness, even speaking in a casual way, ordinary way, actually makes us lose our self-respect. So I was very interested to understand why Baba made this as one of the lessons of renunciation. Carelessness in words. So this is why it is very important to think before we speak. You know, I have learned one interesting lesson this time in Madhuban. You know, when I'm speaking, I should check, am I speaking from my sanskara or am I speaking in soul consciousness? You understand? Because most of the time we speak from our old sanskara. And that is why we react and we, you know, reject and we try to defend ourselves or we try to offend others. It is all from the sanskara. But if I am speaking from soul consciousness, even the words that I am speaking will do service. Because the words will be based on soul conscious feelings, pure feelings, benevolent feelings, words based on self-respect, and so it will not be any more careless. So that was another interesting thing. And the sixth aspect Baba mentioned was renunciation of renunciation. That was in another interesting aspect, you know, because many of us renounce, but then we keep thinking how much we have renounced. And sometimes that expectation also makes us feel disappointed. Look, I did so much for Baba, I renounced everything and came here. Look what is happening now. Nobody gives me attention, I am not given any more that kind of respect. So I feel like a little bit rejected, you know. So renunciation of renunciation, that is the sixth aspect. And then comes the last step, complete renunciation. Complete renunciation means to be able to use not just the physical treasures that has been given to me, but the spiritual treasures that I have been given by Baba in the form of inheritance. I use it in such a worthwhile way, even at the cost of my own sacrifice. See, that is why in the world today there are two types of people. There are donors and there are charitable souls. So complete renunciates are the ones who are charitable souls. The ones who are able to serve others at the cost of their own sacrifice. So you got the seven lessons? So first comes the renunciation. Complete renunciation. Think about it. If I have stepped into this life, let me do it completely. Why half-hearted? You know, if I have come onto the path of knowledge, let me move ahead with complete renunciation, never looking back. And as I said, it is not renunciation. Complete renunciation brings me multi-million fold fortune. Because it is just the name renunciation, but it is the fortune. So someone who has such complete renunciation in this Brahmin life, they automatically become a great tapasvi. If you recall Baba's Murli on Sunday, Baba mentioned it very clearly. What is renunciation? Renunciation is humility. Someone who has complete renunciation are totally humble. And what is tapasya? Tapasya is faith in one. Faith in one, strength from one, and determined intoxication of belonging to one. Because without this one, you cannot have tapasya. So tapasya means to remember one, to belong to one, to take support from one, to go into the depth of one, and also being economical. So tapasya is determination in every action I perform. Concentration and determination is tapasya. So I can have such tapasya. Tapasya means intense meditation. Intense meditation means constant remembrance. Continuous link with Baba. So if my link with Baba is not continuous, there are interruptions. So that is due to lack of some kind of renunciation. You understand? See, either my body pulls me, or bodily relationship pulls me, or my old sanskaras pulls me, desires, attachments. So that indicates clearly that something I have not let go. Renunciation is letting go of bad. So I have not let go of something bad for good to emerge. So whilst you're in Madhuban this time, look into yourself deep within. What is it that interrupts my link with Baba? I have faith in Baba, I have faith in Brahma, I have faith in myself, but still why my intellect is shaking? Why can't I have that intense, that continuous link that creates fire? Tapasya means fiery remembrance. That which actually helps you to transform your subconscious mind. So without having such intense, powerful remembrance, I cannot transform my subconscious mind. And the obstacle that comes is not from outside. It's from inside. Something I have not let go. You know, something I have still kept. I have not renounced. So total renunciation is also of three types. One is just renunciation. Second is great renunciation. And third is complete renunciation. So some of us may be renunciates, there is no doubt. We are. That is why we are sitting here. But out of the renunciates, some of us are great renunciates. But some of us are complete renunciates. So when I have complete renunciation, I will definitely have intense meditation. That means there is automatic tapasya in everything I do. So what is service now? Service is not just giving lectures and conducting class, as Baba said. That is only 1%. But if tapasya is not merged in the service I do, Baba said it is not even 25% service. Yeah? Why? Because my service, whatever service I do, it should be combined with tapasya. So how can you connect tapasya and service in Brahmin life? It's not that I say, okay, I have very good connection with Baba, I love Baba, I have very good meditation. But when I come into relationship, if I cannot maintain pure feelings, good feelings, elevated feelings towards other souls, that is not the proof of tapasya. So that is why Baba said in Sunday's Murli, the feelings of service means to have elevated feelings, feelings of good wishes for all souls. So when you have that kind of tapasya, service is automatically merged in it. When you are doing tapasya, you are automatically doing mental service. You understand? You don't have to think of doing mental service separately. When you are doing tapasya in this way, your face will do service. How will the face of a person who does such tapasya look like? An image of power. Whatever any souls want, you are able to give the experience of that attainment to that soul. That is called service. That is called true service. To be able to give the attainment to the souls according to the need. No, that is why sometimes, even today Baba said, I think you should know the pulse. What they need and give them accordingly. Because if someone wants happiness and you give them peace, then you are not giving them the attainment of the fruit they wanted. So this is why I need to have a clear line of intellect to be able to give the experience of attainments to the souls without them asking from me. Then I know that I have become a bestower of blessing. A complete renunciate. Because they have intense meditation, they become bestower of blessings. That means they give the experience of attainment to souls according to their needs. Like Baba said, if someone comes wanting to have enthusiasm, you fulfill the feelings of enthusiasm. If someone wants happiness, they come with that feelings. So that means you bestow the need of that soul. So service cannot be separated when you have that kind of intense meditation. Now some of us sometimes think tapasya means sit for hours in Baba's room without moving, thinking we have to have tapasya. But no, tapasya has to be combined in service. So I was thinking this evening, another way of understanding is being and doing at the same time. Tapasya is merged in service. That means if you are a being whilst you are doing, so that means you are tapasvi as well as you are serving. But again, in service also there are two types. You know, sometimes we have selfish motive. So when there is selfish motive in service, as Baba said, we may get temporary fruit. At that time, people will praise, we become happy. So that is also lack of renunciation. See, if I become happy thinking I did well, I deserve this praise, this soul understands me very well. So that means I have not had total renunciation. So there is some desire in my service. And so that service is not true service. And that is why such service will always have obstacles. You know, they may be doing service, but the service will be full of obstacles. And such service does not bring any blessings. So this is why it is important, first of all, to have total renunciation based on unlimited disinterest. Now this year Baba has given us this homework, you remember? Baba says unlimited disinterest is the key to open the doors of the soul world. So have you prepared the key? Baba said the key is not ready. Only when the key is ready, the door can open. So what it means to prepare that key, which means that I need to realize the importance of letting go of the bad. You know, realize the importance of throwing away rubbish and never looking back at it. Because until I realize that this is alien, this is foreign, this is acquired, this is Ravan's property, I can't let go. I remember Dadi Prakashmani was saying once that when we become Brahmins, we have disinterest for our body, we have disinterest for our bodily relationships, we have disinterest for the worldly objects also, we had enough of it. But what disinterest we do not yet have? Can you tell me if you know? We all have disinterest for the body. We don't have any attachment. We just look after it as a trustee. We don't have any attachment to bodily relations. We just do our duty as a trustee. But what is that which disinterest is lacking that is delaying world transformation? Yes? Anyone? Desires? Yes. Unlimited disinterest for our own old strong sanskaras. You know, we are still holding on to it somewhere. And that is why every now and then in our relationship, that sanskara comes on the surface and it creates an obstacle. Otherwise, we are okay. So what I need to do in order to make my meditation strong is to realize that old sanskara, create disinterest for it and renounce it. Again, I repeat the definition of renunciation is to let go of it. Let go of it so that you can become free. Until I let go of it, I cannot become free. Just like Baba said this story, you know, a bird was sitting on the branch of a tree, asking everyone passing by to let it free. And everybody passing, they did not do anything. And there is one person who stood and saw why this bird is calling out. And then he saw the bird was catching the branch of the tree with its own feet. So he said to the bird, "Hey bird, let go. Let go." And the bird let go and it flew in no time. So check yourself while you are here. What is it that you are holding on to? You know, there is some subtle support, some subtle sanskara that we hold on to that doesn't allow us to fly free. And so I have to look at it and create disinterest and renounce it. And then you will see the magic, how my meditation becomes tapasya. Because there is yoga, there is tapasya, and there is sadhana. Sadhana is spiritual endeavor. That means effort on this spiritual path without taking any physical support. You know, like Baba gives the example of the Laukik people who are copying what we did last Kalpa. Now they make up their mind to stand on one foot for 1 hour and they do it. They just have the determination. Actually, they are copying what we did. But why I am not able to be stable when I want to have a particular relationship with Baba, particular stage, is my old sanskara pulling me. So in other words, what I would say is total surrender. Complete renunciate means total surrender. Nothing hidden inside. You know, in Mahabharata, they talk about the story of Draupadi, you know, that when Draupadi was undressed in the assembly, she was calling out to God with one hand, trying to protect herself. So she did not get any help. But when she was able to lift both hands, totally surrender, then she got 21 saris that covered her body. So what actually it means is when I totally surrender, what? My ego of my intellect. Baba doesn't want our intellect. He has a better intellect than ours. Yes? Does Baba need my intellect? Baba is the intellect of all the intellectuals, wisdom of the wise. He doesn't want my intellect. What we need to surrender or renounce is the ego of our intellect. That's what I was giving the second definition according to Baba. Renunciation of the consciousness of I and mine. No more ownership. What they say, when you die, the whole world is dead for you. So am I died? Have I died or am I dying? What do you think? Dying? That's really difficult. Sometimes like people in coma, they are dying, they are not dead. But they make other people dying. Yeah, because that's such a problem waiting for that soul to depart. So actually it is total dying alive. A new birth. As Dadi was saying the other day, when the soul leaves the body, accounts with this body, accounts with bodily relationship is finished. So I need to check myself, what is that interruption that comes in my tapasya? Because if there are obstacles in my tapasya, there will definitely be obstacles in service. So if I have total renunciation, my stage will be obstacle free. And then because I have obstacle free stage, I have obstacle free relationships and my service will be obstacle free. So we get marks for the subjects of service in Brahmin life, not on the basis of how many centers we opened, how many lectures we have given, no. Actually, numbers is given on the basis of how many souls we were able to connect with Baba and made them powerful. That's what Baba said in Sunday's Murli. The true service is to connect the yoga of intellect of souls with Baba and make them powerful. So if I connect souls in the name of service with myself, I have committed a sin. This is what Baba said in one of the Murli. So I become like a sannyasi guru. What the gurus are doing today? Those people who are seeking for God, instead of showing where God is, they say, I am God. Shivoham, worship me. Where do you go? So they turn the face of people away from God towards themselves. That is a sin. So if I also, instead of connecting my yoga of intellect of others with Baba, if I connect them with myself, I have turned their face away from Baba. So that is a sin. And the burden of that sin is so heavy that I cannot experience flying stage. But the problem is, when new souls come in contact with us, no, they are weak. They do not have the strength. And so they will praise you. They will give you all the honor. They will give you all the credit. And if I keep accepting them, so I am in trap and I trap them. So that is where renunciation of renunciation is necessary. No, this is very subtle. That how much awareness I need to have that it is Baba who is doing and it is Baba who is getting it done. So this is why I need to renounce the sanskara of getting influenced and trying to influence others. So if I have this sanskara of being influenced, I cannot have powerful tapasya, nor can I do selfless service. Influence can be of two types. One is in the form of getting impressed, and other is in the form of getting hate or having distaste, you know, dislikingness for others. Both are influence. So if I have any of these influence, this is also lack of renunciation. That becomes an interruption in my intense meditation. So I need to really totally surrender my intellect to Baba. Surrender totally, so nothing of mine is left. Total surrender means dying alive. I have taken new birth. So my sanskaras are that of Baba's sanskaras. My nature is that of Baba's nature. So that means my connection with Baba becomes easy and natural. So I would say that the importance of renunciation, total renunciation, intense meditation and selfless service is so connected, as we say, purity, peace and happiness. Purity is the mother and peace and happiness are their children. So complete renunciation is the foundation of Brahmin life. On the basis of that, we can have intense meditation as well as selfless service. So this is why, you know, we are always told to know something is one thing. You may know many things. That's intellectual. To know, to accept. Knowing is of the intellect. Accepting is of the heart and doing in action. So when my knowing, accepting and doing becomes alike, then I am able to make my tapasya, renunciation and service together. So these three things are inseparable. So if one thing is lacking, the other will be affected. So this is why let me give so much importance to renunciation, unlimited disinterest in this Brahmin life, as much importance as we give for our breath. You know, when our breathing stops, our life doesn't exist anymore. So when there is lack of renunciation, when there is something lacking in this aspect, there is always a kind of, you know, difficulties one experiences on this path. So this is why Baba mentioned it very clearly. You know, tapasya is automatically merged in the action of the one who is a complete renunciate, and service is automatic through someone who is the image of tapasya. So what is my feeling is that we all came to Madhuban as Brahma Kumar and Brahma Kumari, and we should return to our places as Tapasvi Kumar and Tapasvi Kumaris. That means you don't need to speak about the one with whom you have yoga. You have such yoga, such connection with that one, that anyone who looks at you automatically gets connected. You know, it is like a current. You know, they say there is a gas called laughing gas. Whoever inhales that gas, they start to laugh automatically. So this tapasya should become contagious. So I was reading something as a foreword written by Dadi Janki in one of the books, which was touched me very much. You know, how can I become an angel of contentment? So I can become an angel of contentment when I'm able to have unlimited disinterest that will bring me unlimited fortune, unlimited attainments. So my thought is we should begin to reflect on. No, manan means reflect on the attainments. So you whatever you are reflecting on, it will show on your face. So first begin to reflect, and then automatically you go into the stage of contemplation, and then you go into become the embodiment of it. So let us, you know, have this aim this time, that every time we sit, particularly come and sit in yoga, at least to have the attention and checking that whole time my yoga of intellect should be connected with Baba. Because I have decided to spend this time with Baba, so I should not even think about service. I should not think about plans for service. That is also not pure remembrance. Pure remembrance and tapasya means one Baba and none other. Just lost in that Baba's love. There's nothing but Baba. So that is the difference between being an angel and becoming an angel. The one who is becoming an angel have love for Baba, but the one who is an angel is in love with Baba. Is there a difference? When you say you are in love with Baba, that means it is exclusive. But if you love Baba, you love Baba, but you can also love somebody else. So when we sit in meditation now for this half an hour, maybe Dadi Janki will join us. So let us sit in such powerful stage, like we are totally absorbed in one. No one can separate me from Baba. Not just love Baba, but in love. Exclusive love for Baba. No one else is included. So that means, that is what is the meaning of tapasya. It's not like you have to become dry and you have to force yourself. So if we can have such stage together in the form of a gathering, I think we create such a fire that would automatically ignite the lamp of many souls. So we become like a living lighthouse. What it means to be a lighthouse? A house in which the light is constantly lit. So this body is a house and the soul is the light. So if the light is ignited and it is connected with the powerhouse, so I become a lighthouse, and through two eyes, what it means to become a lighthouse, through one eye, mukti, through the other eye, jivan mukti. So I just sit here, but I will be showing the path to the souls in the whole world. Wherever they want to go, they are guided. So let us go on the unlimited. Let go of everything down below. Let us die totally, as if in this hall nobody is alive. We are just dead bodies here. The soul has gone to Parandham. Yes, possible? No movement, no walking, no getting up in between. So let us practice. You know, every time we have yoga, this is what happens. People come and go and there's a lot of disturbance, so you cannot have that powerful remembrance. So let us close all the three doors and let us open one door, only one exit. And let us totally die from this world. So, dead silence. When the soul is not in the body doesn't move. So as if we have parked the car here, you know, parking lot, where you are sitting, that is your parking lot, and the driver has gone home. So let us see if we can maintain that stage, that powerful, powerful dead silence. But this silence is called dead silence, but it is not dead. It's blissful, because the soul is truth, living and bliss. So you just become what you are. I the soul, I am truth, I am living and I am bliss. So don't think what you are not. Just be aware of what you are. Then you will see the magic of meditation. Om Shanti.